Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is David Auji and this is The Big Picture. So, how's it all you grumpies? Ramadan is going well, isn't it? 12 hours is nothing. You know, in London, I believe it's 17 hours long. Alhamdulillah. More sawabs for them, eh? Everything changes in Ramadan. So much of spirituality, so much of piety. But of course, as we all know, that the main focus is on increased ibadat and also, of course, a firm control of the nafs. And it's not only about not having food and drink. It's also about controlling one's temper. No bad words. No bad words must be spoken. No panchat, that's ghibat. Because ghibat is also eating. Did you know that? Yes. Eating the flesh of your dead brother. No speaking lies. Bottom line is this. It's not only about stopping what goes into the mouth, but also what comes out of the mouth. Let me say that again. It's not only about stopping anything going into the mouth, but it's also stopping certain things coming out of the mouth. So there you are, my bayan for today. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. And now back to the big picture. You know, for some time now, we haven't looked at the crazy, the zany, the bizarre, loony, Ekdam Gandu stories that made it into the media. So, I thought I'll start there today. Now, let me say this. Isn't it wonderful when a husband and his wife go on holiday? Especially if it's about driving through a country. You stop along the way for a day and then move on to another destination. It's so nice, so romantic, so relaxing. So much of togetherness and all. And so, we go to the good old US of A, the land of freedom and justice. 70-year-old pensioner Rodney Puckett was going along a freeway in the Arizona city of Eloy. His wife, that 74-year-old Linda, was sitting next to him. And then cops pulled Rodney over. And while the cop was speaking to Rodney, he noticed Linda in the passenger seat. She seemed to be sleeping. But on closer checking, the cop found that she was dead. Here's what the article in the British Independent newspaper says. Rodney told detectives Linda died at a hotel in Texas, 800 miles away during the trip. He told officers that he dragged her body to their car, strapped her up with a seat belt before continuing the journey towards their destination. It did not say where Mr. Puckett said he had been heading when he was stopped. Investigators said they were working with Texas law enforcement to determine if she was murdered. Mr. Puckett from Oklahoma was charged with abandonment or concealment of a body and taken to Pinal County Prison. He could face further charges at a later date. What do you think about that, eh? I think that's a Mampara and a Ullu rolled up in one. Right, if you think that was a crazy story, listen to this. A flight to China was delayed after a woman tried to stop it from leaving to wait for her daughter who was shopping. The Spring Airlines service from Bangkok to Shanghai was due to depart at 3:30 a.m. but was held up for half an hour when one passenger became emotional and tried to stop cabin crew from closing the door. Another traveler claiming to be on the same flight uploaded footage of the incident, which shows frustrated passengers standing up and arguing with cabin crew while the woman in question sits on the floor outside the aircraft. The video has since been trending on Chinese platforms. A Spring Airlines spokesperson told the Mail and Guardian, the passenger had boarded the plane but was emotional and tried to block the cabin manager from closing the aircraft door. Her daughter believed to be late because she was still shopping, allegedly called airport police demanding they wait because she had checked in two pieces of luggage. The flight eventually took off without the two passengers, and the 160 travelers on board landed in Shanghai more than an hour later than scheduled. The airline condemned the passengers' uncivilized behavior. Uncivilized behavior? They should put the mother and daughter together and give them a couple of tight kicks up the backside. And here's another one, also from the British Independent newspaper. The article says, if, like us, you never thought working on your upper body strength was a necessity before a meal out with friends, well, think again. This summer, Italian brand Birra Moretti is launching a Bring Your Own Table, BYOT, Bring Your Own Table restaurant. From 12 to 15 June, in Covent Gardens, which is, of course, in the heart of London, guests are invited to carry a table to the Trattoria Birra Moretti restaurant in exchange for a free six-course meal. Diners can bring any sort of table they want, while the restaurant's waiters will provide chairs, food, and drinks. The organizer of the event said, square tables, round tables, coffee tables, and pottery tables are just some tables, suggestions provided by the event organizers. They also recommend diners bring a table that sits up to four people. After all that hard work, customers will be in need of a hearty meal, which will be created by Italian chef and restaurateur Gennaro Contaldo. Contaldo says of the event, if carrying a table through central London doesn't bring you closer with your friends, then my delicious cooking definitely will. Isn't that a wonderful gesture, dear listeners? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I wish one of the restaurants in Durban or Joburg would do that. Just bring a table and you can get free chows. Wow, that would be amazing, right? Okay, now to the serious stuff. But before I get to the meat and potatoes, let me give you some very light gravy. Now, I've got two magic tours in the June school holidays, both leaving on the 19th. One is the Islamic Spain and Morocco tour. We go to Casablanca, Fez, Marrakesh, and then we take a ship to cross over to Spain, to Seville and Granada, Cordoba and Madrid and Barcelona. Absolutely magic places to visit. The second tour is a really exciting, amazing and magical one, and that's to Bosnia and Croatia. As I said, both depart on the 19th of June in the school holidays. So pack your bags and get ready for Maja. But just one thing. We have only 6 seats left on the Bosnia and Croatia tour and 7 only on the Islamic Spain and Morocco tour. So call me on, of course, the Durban code 031-207-2110. 207-2110. Right now to the meat and potatoes. You know, I really feel sorry for Pakistan's Prime Minister, Imran Khan. He used to play cricket and he did a great job of that. But when he first entered politics, he spoke of justice and freedom and human rights. He was very outspoken on that. Of course, I'm sure that he believed in all of these. He was very sincere. A good guy. A clean guy. He was going to fight corruption and so on. And you know that Pakistan politics is riddled with corruption. So he said he was going to fight corruption if elected president. Tuma Mina, he told the people of Pakistan, and see how I will stand up for what is right. And so they elected him president. And everyone expected the new dawn. But, my dear listeners, when you are outside of government, you can say all kinds of things and, well, you can believe in them. You are sincere about it. But when you are elected the leader of the country, the president, then there is a new reality that you have to deal with, new dynamics. And Khan said recently, my party has only been in power for 2 months. Unfortunately, Unfortunately, we have inherited a very different economic situation, a very difficult economic situation. So that's what he said recently. My party has only been in place for 2 months. Unfortunately, we inherited a very difficult economic situation. That means Pakistan needs money, investments. It's got a balance of payment problem. And so, flying in from Saudi Arabia on his magic carpet, Superman Mohammed bin Salman to help out. Okay, bro, we are ready to invest $20 billion into your country. How much? $20 billion. And of course, Imran Bhai is very happy indeed. So happy that the very next day, he confers Pakistan's highest civilian honor, known as Nishan-e-Pakistan. He bestows this honor on the Saudi Crown Prince. And you know what? Nelson Mandela was awarded this honor in 1992. Sure! Bin Salman and Mandela on the same page, given the same honor. The mind, Senor, she boggles. And Imran and Mohammed bin Salman, you see a photograph of them shaking hands. Ah, never mind the story that bin Salman's hand is dripping with the blood of Jamal Khashoggi. No point in bringing that up when you already received $6 billion in loans from Saudi Arabia and now another $20 billion in investments. Khan was one of the very few foreign leaders to attend an international investment conference in Saudi Arabia in October last year that was boycotted by most countries because of Khashoggi's murder. As I said, I feel sorry for Imran. Nice guy who has to grit his teeth and forget about his principles because he needs the money. See, that's what happens when you are in leadership position. Politics, as we all know, is a very dirty business. And so also, Imran went off to China to meet with the Chinese President Xi Jinping. They shook hands and the Chinese President said, I attach great importance to China-Pakistan relations and am willing to work together with the Prime Minister to strengthen the China-Pakistan all-weather
strategic partnership and build a new era of China-Pakistan destiny.
Imran was hoping to collect a few bob from the Chinese. But of course, please don't mention the Uyghurs, the Muslims in Xinjiang, persecuted by China, who are in the province of Xinjiang, who are made to eat pork and drink alcohol in huge concentration camps. They are known as re-education facilities. Re-educate them because they learned a very wrong religion and have to be re-educated again about important things. Leave the Islam behind. Of course, you're not going to mention all of that, the persecution of the Uyghurs, when you are shaking hands with Xi Jinping. Right, so that, my dear friends, brings me to the local scene. Good old sunny South Africa. There is the big weight, the announcement of the new cabinet. And now, something is brewing. Something is brewing around Lindiwe Sisulu. She was in the last cabinet. And now, very likely, she will be the cabinet minister in Ramaphosa's government. Or maybe not. For more about that, we'll come back after the break. Yes, welcome back to the Big Picture program. Now, I told you the focus is on Lindiwe Sisulu. But let me just say that Ramaphosa is a nice guy. Big smiles. We're told he's going to be the corruption buster. He's clean. He's very clean, isn't he? Except for some story about his lighty Andile getting some falus from the VBS bank. Or was it Bosasa? I think it was Bosasa. Very embarrassing for the bully, that one. Anyway, Mr. New Dawn, Ramaphosa, is a man of principle, freedom and justice. Now, Ramaphosa said recently, where is the clip? Let me see if I can find it very quickly. Ramaphosa, I'll just search for it very fast and tell you what Ramaphosa said very recently. Yeah, he said previously, this is what he said, as long as that struggle persists, and he's talking about the Palestinian struggle, as long as that struggle persists, we will be on the side of the Palestinians. We will always be on the right side because we know what is happening there. It's gross apartheid taking place there, and we cannot but countenance a situation which is a duplicate or replica of what we went through that we are not going to apologize for. Woof! How's that, eh? Powerful stuff, right? Let me read that again. I love it. So previously, Ramaphosa said, as long as that struggle persists, we will be on the side of the Palestinians. We will always be on the right side because we know what is happening there. It's gross apartheid taking place there. And we cannot but countenance a situation which is a duplicate or replica of what we went through, that we are not going to apologize for. Whoa! Like standing up and giving him an applause for those words. Powerful stuff. Wonderful stuff. But of course, at that time, he was not the president. And now he is the president. So, dear listeners, as I said, reality kicks in. And the reality is different, as in the case of Imran Khan. Lindiwe Sisulu, in her previous life, was cabinet minister. She was the Minister of International Relations and Cooperation. In that position, she announced the downgrading of the South African embassy in Israel, downgraded to a visa office. This was, of course, a strong move to show that South Africa was not happy with Israel. South Africa was not happy with Israel. Well, not happy with Lindiwe Sisulu is the large Jewish community here who support Israel. And so the issue of whether Ramaphosa will retain Sisulu in his new cabinet as Minister of International Relations has just hit the fan. Here is an article from the Daily Maverick. I'll just read you some extracts. This is what it says. Right, here we are. Lindiwe Sisulu is facing a campaign by the South African Jewish Board of Deputies for this decision. That is downgrading the South African embassy. On Friday, the community newspaper, the powerful Jewish Report, we're talking about yesterday, the powerful Jewish Report called her, these are its words, South African Jewry's threat in government. Right, so they say that she is a threat to South African Jewry. The local South African Jewish community is up in arms about the downgrade. A smaller number of Jewish activists for peace, like former Intelligence Minister Ronnie Castells, support the move. President Cyril Ramaphosa is said to have isolated his foreign minister and said in meetings that her stances on Israel and Rwanda, of course, she has criticized the extrajudicial killings of political opponents of President Paul Kagame. We're making geopolitics tough for him. So he, Ramaphosa, was saying that her utterances were making it very tough for him. The presidency has said they will not respond to speculation about a new cabinet. Sisulu has been a loyal ally of Ramaphosa. At the party's conference at Nasrec, Johannesburg, where Ramaphosa was elected party president, she stood down her bid for party president and for deputy president to ease his bid. In the end, Ramaphosa only won by a nail-biting 179 votes, a victory that would not have been possible if Sisulu was also standing for president. Now, the minister is feeling isolated. We're talking about Lindiwe. Sisulu is feeling isolated, and there's political talk that the former Speaker of the National Assembly, Baleka Mbete, could be crowned foreign minister when Ramaphosa announces his cabinet after the presidential inauguration on May 25th. Sisulu wouldn't covet a return to human settlements as she has headed up the housing portfolio previously. In April, Sisulu announced that the downgrade was in progress. At the beginning of May, Ramaphosa said in a pre-election interview with the Jewish Report that cabinet had not yet approved the downgrade. This is what he said. He said, once the cabinet has fully engaged and come out with a view on this matter, it will communicate this to the public. In other words, we remain seized with the modalities of downgrading the South African embassy in Israel, and this matter has not been finalized, the president said. Well, Israel has not responded to Sisulu's threats and maintains a full embassy. But in Sisulu's view, the matter had been finalized and she was implementing an ANC resolution. In Sisulu's view, Israel is in violation of international laws of occupation and UN resolutions against settlement building. The ANC resolution on Palestine and on the downgrade of the Israeli embassy was adopted unanimously. So, let me pause there and tell you. The ANC adopted this resolution to downgrade. Right? This was a unanimous decision of the ANC, which is a political party, the biggest party. But it's not the government. I must underline that. Both Sisulu and Ramaphosa have faced questions in parliament of when they would effect the downgrade. Now, if the EFF and the ANC caucus push Ramaphosa to implement the resolution to downgrade the South African embassy to a visa office, as Sisulu has started, it will place him in a tough spot. Ramaphosa will be in a tough spot, because if the EFF and many in the ANC caucus, they gang up and tell him you have to proceed with the downgrade, puts Ramaphosa in a tough spot. The two caucuses together now have a two-thirds majority in the House. The EFF holds a similar position on Israel to that of the ANC. Did you get that? Most people don't know this. The EFF holds a similar position on Israel to that of the ANC. But the downgrade and a tougher stance on Israel can isolate Ramaphosa from one of his own key kitchen cabinets. The business community has many Jewish luminaries who are said to be upset at the downgrade decision. Let me repeat that. The business community has many Jewish luminaries, heavyweights in other words, who are said to be upset at the downgrade decision. In an interview with Investec founder Stephen Kosef, Ramaphosa said, "I know the Jewish community was concerned, shocked and bewildered at the ANC resolution. What we are seeking to do now is to say, does South Africa have a role to play, a role in promoting peaceful outcomes in the Middle East and generally in Palestine and Israel specifically? Our view is we do have a role to play, and our foreign policy is going to be directed toward doing precisely that, especially as we take our seat as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council." Ramaphosa appears to support engagement over isolation with regard to Israel, and this has pitted him against his own party and his foreign minister, who now seems likely to face the presidential axe. Did you get that? So there you are, folks. Sisulu was strong on downgrading diplomatic ties with Israel, but our man Ramaphosa seems to be backtracking, softening the announcement, saying, "Well, not really. We like dialogue, and we're still discussing the issue. And no real decision has been taken. You know, we feel that playing a role in bringing peace is important. So please, nobody must get excited or worried. Things are not set to change. We haven't made any decision." Vacillation, that's the word. Vacillation. So you see what I mean, that one line in the article, the business community has many Jewish luminaries who are said to be upset at the downgrade decision. That's the point, you see. Our economy is in trouble and you need the help of these Jewish luminaries, big boys, to help to get it in shape and so on. That's sort of the underlying message. And besides them, if Israel whispered, or if these luminaries whispered to Israel, and Israel whispered in the ear of Mike Pompeo, or Jared Kushner, or John Bolton, that South Africa is misbehaving, then we are liable to get a lucky big economic clap when we go cap in hand to the White House and ask President Pagla to renew our special deal in exporting stuff from here to the United States at preferential tariff rates. Preferential tariff rates. Say it is important for us. If Donald says footsack, then we will be in deeper trouble. So this, my dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, this is the reality. Ramaphosa may still feel very strongly about Palestine, but our country's economy is of more concern to him. Very important, of course. Far more important than to shoot ourselves in the foot by offending Israel and the luminaries here. You see the point? And so let's wait and see if Sisulu makes it back to her original cabinet position. My 20 Zim dollars say that she won't. Yeah? Hey, but wait. The ANC just released a statement, just now in fact, just a few hours ago. Here is what it says. The ANC notes with deep regret and disappointment the destructive utterances attributed to Zev Krangel in the Jewish report directed at South Africa's Minister of International Relations, Honorable Lindiwe Sisulu, for advancing progressive ANC stance in line with the 54th National Conference resolution on the Palestinian question. The views expressed by Minister Sisulu on the Palestinian question are consistent with the position of her organization, the African National Congress. Minister Sisulu's integrity is beyond reproach. She enjoys the respect... She enjoys the respect of millions of South Africans as well as leaders from many nations. The ANC is satisfied that Minister Sisulu has recalibrated South Africa's foreign policy so that it reflects the people of South Africa's profound opposition to gross human rights abuses and colonial occupation of Palestine. As part of our solidarity with the people of Palestine, the ANC's 54th National Conference resolved, in order to give practical expression of support to the oppressed people of Palestine, to direct the South African government to immediately and unconditionally downgrade the South African embassy in Israel to a liaison office. The ANC humbly calls on the South African Jewish Board of Deputies to appreciate and respect growing concerns for the ongoing human rights atrocities being visited upon the people of Palestine by the government of Israel. I think I'll have a glass of water. I'm just joking. It remains our considered view that Israel must be part of a solution towards peace and human dignity for the Palestinian people, and as such is not a religious or tribal matter, nor is it directed at any group or religion. In fact, the stance taken by South Africa to downgrade its relation with Israel has been welcomed by people of all religions who are concerned about the impunity with which Israel has been allowed to act against civilians in the occupied Palestinian territories. Downgrading the embassy is a practical act of solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine. In the face of the injustices meted out by a powerful war machine against mostly civilians, we hope for no further death in Israel and in Palestine. Peace and reconciliation will be achieved when recognition is given to the rights of the people of Palestine to their land and freedom in line with the two-state solution and when Israel complies with international law. In conclusion, the ANC urges the South African Jewish Board of Deputies to refrain from actions that could be perceived as attempts to drive a wedge amongst the leaders of the ANC. Wow! Powerful stuff from the ANC. Well. What do you think of that, eh? But remember this. That's the ANC statement, not the government statement. It seems the same, but it is not. And so, my dear friends, let the tamasha begin. Well, we've come to the end of the program, and I think it's time for some light at the end of the tunnel. So, Koos and his wife Magda were getting divorced. The judge listened to both sides and then said, Mr. van der Merwe, I am granting your wife 3,500 rands a month in maintenance. And Koos replied, Yer, judge, that is a hell of a good of you, eh? And now and then I will also chip in with a couple of rands, okay? that's an old one, isn't it? But more from the light at the end of the tunnel graveyard. The matric results just came out and Imran went up to his father and said, Dad, I got great news for you. Yeah, I got great news for you. Remember you told me that for every A I got in matric, you will give me 500 rands. Hey, the father was all excited and said, Yeah, Imran, so what happened? Imran replied, Well, the good news is that you don't have to give me any money. Now, talking about schools, you know, some of the schools in Durban, in the Durban area, are very rough, and I think in most of South Africa, very rough. Teachers are scared of the students, and some are even badly assaulted by the students. You've heard of this. Now, Mr. Govender, he's a teacher, of course, he had an accident, a car accident in December, and his upper body was put into a plaster cast, but of course you couldn't see it because he had his shirt on. On his first day at the new school, he walked into a very rowdy classroom. He opened the window, he walked over to the window and he opened it wide and he sat at his desk, busy with some paperwork. And suddenly there was a strong gust, a breeze came through the window and his tie flapped around. So Mr. Govender opened the drawer, he took out a big stapler and he stapled the tie to his chest. Mr. Govender had no problems about discipline from his students. They must have thought he's Rambo or something. Hasta la vista, baby. Well, it's hasta la vista from me, A.B. Dawji. Until next time, it's assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.